And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. We're going to fix everything today. Fixing it all. You probably saw last week, Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director at Notre Dame, and John Jenkins, the president, had an op-ed in the New York Times. Jack went on a little media tour talking about all the things that everybody else needs to do to fix college sports that, well, I guess the people who get paid seven figures to work in college sports don't need to do. So we are joined now by Dan Wetzel from Yahoo, from the College Football Inquirer podcast as well. Jack was on your podcast, Dan, and I admired your restraint as he spent 15 minutes talking about people missing classes in sports that don't make money.
Well, I have a lot of respect for Jack, as everyone should. And, you know, you want to come on as a guest, you treat people well. Course. So,
I mean, Ari's going to yell at you, but
you can yell at me.
No.
I don't mind, but I don't command a lot of respect. Yeah, I mean, I thought some of his ideas were fine. Others, I just, you know, generally just don't. I just don't follow the problem. I just, someone's got to show me a problem before they tell me all these solutions. And someone's got to tell me that, yes, we're really into moving forward and stop trying to have all their proposals be a clawback to create the same thing. They have to tell me they actually respect their student athletes as adults and as individual businesses, which philosophically they don't. They think they're dumb rubes that need protecting. Under the premise of consumer protection, that they will then control the marketplace again. I'm not falling for it. Other people do.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because that was after the extended discussion of soccer players missing classes. You did get to the crux of the issue with Jack Swarbrick, and we have a clip, and it's pretty good. And shout out to the cement mixer in Wichita.
When it comes to NIL, what I question is, why is this a problem? What's the problem with NIL being used to draw students to a school?
There's no problem with NIL being used to draw students to a school. The issue,
I'm saying, how about using it as an inducement? I'll go straight up. What's the problem if I'm a booster and I say, I'm a Notre Dame booster, and I say, I'll give you $500,000, you come play quarterback for us. Well, and you send out some tweets about my cement mixing business in Wichita.
Yeah. There are two things there. The first is the question of why the straight inducement is a problem. I mean, why do you even have to put it on, right? Why can't the head of the concrete company just pay me to go to that school in addition to my scholarship?
Exactly.
The answer for me goes back to competitive equity, right? I mean, that's going to, in a non-structured way, different than any other sport in the world, right? There's no entry draft, there's no salary cap, there's no anything, is going to cause a skewing of the decisions, if you will, and a competitive inequity that's just going to be part of college athletics. I recognize historically some of that's been the case, and maybe the answer is, sorry, that's what college athletics is always going to be.
So
at least he acknowledged the fact that it already exists.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. I thought we were going to breeze over that.
He has a football team that can't win the national title that if they use NIL properly, will be able to. Like, it's hilarious. And not only I got a couple things with that, Dan. So I'm going to run this by you. He says no other sport in the world does it like this. Untrue. Professional soccer does it like this. The most popular sport in the world. And then, oh, by the way, college football probably the least equitable competitive sport in America other than women's college basketball, maybe. Like, all they do is create inequity.
Yeah. Yeah, soccer literally goes out and tries to sign 8 and 9 year olds.
Yes.
Like, the greatest signing of the last 25 years was Barcelona agreeing to take on the medical bills of a young Lionel Messi, a 13-year-old at the time, in Rosario, Argentina, who was not going to grow to a proper height unless he got the medicine bills. It was the greatest NIL deal of all time. Okay, this is how crazy soccer is. So I don't want to hear, this is nuts. Somebody offered some, like, whatever. Yeah, as a pure Notre Dame bit, I don't get this at all. I think we would all agree that over the years, Notre Dame is not scandal-free. Notre Dame is not perfect. But we have never really seen the number. You don't hear the whispers. We've never seen all the cases of pay for play.
I feel like they try harder than almost anyone.
I think that's a fair summation. I'm not trying to be an apologist for Notre Dame or anything. But I think they try as hard as they can to be the actual embodiment of this. And their problem is they didn't cheat and buy players. One of their problems. They can now buy players. As I said in that interview, you have tons of money. Your most famous building has a golden roof. The place is rich. You have boosters dying to pay the players. Why would you not pay them on some I used a cement company because it's like, I don't need an NIL deal to help sell my cement company. Why wouldn't you embrace it? I don't know. I guess I respect that they're going for the common good, but we have seen so far, a grouping of talent based on NIL payouts. We have not seen the rich get richer. We have a Final Four this year with three first-time participants that really haven't run major programs, UConn notwithstanding.
Yeah, one of those actually in there, probably because of one very significant NIL deal that they made to get a transfer.
One of their
starters. Another one they made to keep their best player when he's like, hey, wait a second, why are you giving him more than me?
Yeah, so... But we haven't seen everybody go to Kentucky in basketball. We haven't seen everyone go to Alabama. The economists say that won't happen. It'll probably be flat. I think if anything, it's spread out a little bit. You talk about Miami. So Miami spent, let's say, $400,000 on Nigel Pack to transfer from Kansas State. If we're going to say that was a one for one deal or whatever, we'll see. I think Life Wallet and John Ruiz would disagree. But even so, they said, well, you're buying your players. What is Kentucky doing? They're paying their coach $8 million a year. They got a $30 million practice facility. They fly in private jets. They do this. Like, everyone's buying a team. It's just, are you using a passive dollar or are you using an active dollar?
Are you buying smarter? Who's spending innovation. Smarter right now?
Right. So. Right. $400,000. For Nigel Pack is something that a lot of schools, heck, FAU, heck, whatever team you want can come up. FDU could come up with $400,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They can't come up with $200 million to replace a generation of spending, of, you know, not funding. So purely a Notre Dame's thing, I would jump this, but whatever, that's his thing. But we have not seen that competitive imbalance come. We have not seen the fans run away. Instead, we're getting record ratings, in part, I think, because of gambling, but we're not seeing the fans collapse like the NCAA predicted. Where's the problem? What problem needs a solution here, I guess, is my well, thing.
So you've got the best attitude, because this is the easiest fix. Just let it go. Let the market figure it out and stop worrying about it, which is what you and I both wrote something very similar. I want to say it was back in 2011 where we were talking about, we proposed something very similar to this. And both of the point of our thing was stop worrying about it and it'll be fine. And if they did stop worrying about it, it would be fine, but they won't stop worrying about it. So
geniuses are rarely appreciated at the time.
In their own time. Yes, exactly. Right?
We have to pass away and then look back and go, those two were just so far ahead of their time.
And I wanted to thank you for bringing...
I'm in favor of deregulation, not more regulation.
Right.
I wanted to thank you for bringing Dan on so that you could collectively make it smarter on this show. You know, we got some brains here, but I do think that the most apt way to describe this is the way you just described it, which is, what is the legitimate problem? So they will tell you that competitive balance is an issue. But what do we actually know the problem is? And how can that be solved? Like, we're trying to solve that. The problem is
they can't control. Being they greedy. Have no rules. Right. They would like to go back to the old way because they could control most of the money that way. And this way they can't. And that's a problem. Like, they want to know that if they get somebody to donate money so they can create a $200 million football facility, that's going to reflect well on the athletic director. That's going to increase the athletic director's pay. Like, now, if the cement mixer's just making a deal with the player, well, is that, did the AD do that? Did he have?
Because Stan just outlined, I'm not sure that that's even true, the competitive balance worry.
Oh, it's not. It's like, especially college football, one of the most competitively imbalanced sports in the world.
How much worse can it be?
Yeah, it can't be. I mean,
we love the sport, but it's not competitively balanced. And, like, and the middle of the SEC, the middle of conferences, major conferences, have no chance.
Right,
exactly. Even the upper middle have no chance.
The middle of the Big Ten, no chance. So Jack, and Jack's not alone, by the way. I don't want to paint this as just a Jack Swarbrick thing. There are a lot of ADs and college presidents and people who feel this way. They think that if you suddenly allow them to create rules like they used to have that have gone away, that they will create more competitive balance. The rules they created made the competitive imbalance in the first place.
It redirects where the money is headed.
Yes.
And
which is, then the
allows
which is their real problem.
The
yes.
passive dollar to create an environment where more draft picks are produced, mm-hmm. more wins are made. And then thus the recruiting is imbalanced because they want to go to the school that gets them to the NFL or the NBA or whatever sport exactly. they play in faster.
They're used to the passive dollar. Look at the weight rooms, right? Every guy's got a rack. We used to every other guy's got, now every guy, there used to be one waterfall. Now every locker has got a waterfall, right? Those are wastes of money.
I remember when the strength coaches had to say, stop talking to the volleyball players and the golfers. Stop flirting.
Right. Yeah.
Because they were in the weight room at the same time, but now they're not because
right. you need a
football
fingerprint
players can't
to get
possibly
in.
Work out with other athletes.
Right. Everything is a passive dollar instead of an active dollar. But look at their track record on this stuff. Okay. They said stipends. Remember when stipends was a big thing? Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. If you're at USC, your monthly stipend is, I'm making these numbers up, 300. Because that's the cost of living. But if you're in Ames, Iowa, it's only 170. USC will have an unfair advantage. And you're like, okay, really? stipends, the big schools. Okay, when was the last time Boise State beat Alabama head up for a freaking recruit? Didn't happen, right? There's always been the inability, unless the kid is literally from Boise, Idaho.
We don't even discuss stipends. Right. It's not even a thought.
Not a thought anymore. It was the biggest thing. That's the stipend was the start of when Jim Delaney threatened to take the Big Ten to Division III, and Dabo Sweeney thought about, you know, I might have to do something else. Then it was the academic awards. The academic awards. The NCAA in the Alston case literally argued they had a study that said 10% of hardcore fans would no longer be fans of college sports if players started receiving academic awards because some schools pay more than others. This was their theory. Who in the world, what kind of psycho are you if you're like, my favorite sport is college football, but I'm no longer a fan because my linebacker just picked up $5,000 for being smart. I no longer can. Come on. That person did not exist. If it offends you that your guy was so smart that he also made $5,000 for being on the honor roll, then
Dan, do you ever consider how much that study cost?
The cost more than the $5,000.
Remember,
money I could save people. Get out of the business. Deregulate. Forget it. Let the world go on. It goes back to what I was saying before. So they have a horrible track record of telling us the world is falling apart, and yet they're still telling us the world is falling apart. I want to see the world. Let's see any bit of the world falling apart. Let's see it.
Well, I just remember when James Heckman was hired. He's a Nobel Prize winning economist. The NCAA hired him to be their expert witness in the O'Bannon trial. And I remember sitting there, he was being paid $2,300 an hour.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And and he did a he did a study that essentially told us that going to college was good. It didn't counteract any of the arguments that the plaintiffs were making.
Isn't it amazing how quick somebody would jump at the opportunity to take the job as an expert witness making $2,300 an hour?
I will
tell
you
somebody else how you money
want for $2,300 an hour.
They pay me $2,300 an hour. I'm going complete other side. This is a disaster. We need regulations.
Honestly, $2,300 an hour, and I say the cheese is, or the moon is made out of cheese.
Yeah,
like there's nothing I won't say.
Yeah, well, Heckman did the listen, Nobel Prize winner. He's not going to sully his name. He didn't lie. He said college was good, which is true.
Yeah,
true. College is awesome.
But like, everybody is really quick to line their pockets. And then the second anything comes up that gets in the way of them lining their pockets, whether it takes money out of the other person's pocket or not, that's when it becomes an issue.
Well, and, like, and
everybody's the first in line to get the money in their pocket.
Yeah. Even if you, let's say you did have a system where you were going to share money with the athletes. Let's say the Power Five conferences or the whole FBS, we do it that way. We say the whole FBS is going to take half of the new money, not the current money the College Football Playoff brings in, but the new money that the College Football Playoff will bring. Half of that. And that's the salary pool. It would still be pretty good money in salaries, and it wouldn't cost anybody currently making money a penny. But they still don't want that because they're afraid someone will realize they're not that important and those quarterbacks are way more important. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
So what's the number one avenue of money for these programs? Television, right? And the deals that they
conference.
Get with the conference. If you were to pool together, like, okay, let's do the Dan Wetzel let the world burn strategy here for a minute. If you were to allow all the players to go get whatever they could get by any means that they can get it, no rules, no rules just right. Was that the Outback?
That's Outback. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
From no rules just right. Companies from boosters anything. Or companies.
I don't care where they want to get it within the realm of
pay them. Then they're employees and we're having a different conversation.
Right? Let them go get it from anyone but the school in any way they want, as long as they're not breaking the law. Mm-hmm. If you added all that money up from all the stars, every single Power Five player, would it even be a drop in the bucket for 1 year's? When compared to 1 year's revenue from television deals, like would it even register?
I don't think it would be very high. It would register, is my guess, but I don't know that the market won't soar back because it's hard to get people to commit every year. Okay, yes. So we have like, this quarterback recruit got this much money. Well, let's see when he doesn't pan out.
Right.
Go look back through the list of 5-star QBs and how often have you just gave a. Let's say I give $100,000 and I get, we got to get this guy. And I throw $100,000 in and he doesn't play. It isn't any good. And I feel like an idiot. And everyone knows I paid $100,000. Like, at least when you buy a building, you're not embarrassed by the building. You're like, hey, well, building looks good.
Well, that's entirely what the building is. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But, you know, right. I don't know that these boosters will just sit there and go, well, wait a minute. Because look, in pro sports, we could do this. And it's never happened.
It's a percentage of
there's
team
nothing
revenue.
Stopping, say, a car dealer in Baltimore right now to say, you know what, or whatever. I have hundreds of millions of dollars in Baltimore. Lamar, take less. I'll pay you $20 million a year and make up the difference if you cut a commercial for my whatever, my business. Yeah. There's nothing stopping that in pro sports, and it's never happened.
As long as you don't put it in writing.
Not once.
Because it would violate the CBA, but yes.
But if it's like, hey, if you're a Raven, here's a $20 million. We have seen in the past, particularly when you had to be basically in New York or LA or a couple other markets to become a national figure. It was an idea. Oh, you go to New York, you got bigger endorsement possibilities and stuff like that. But that
doesn't exist.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, they play some of the smallest markets in the NFL. Everybody knows that. But you could do that. We've never seen it. So I just, it's all boogeyman stuff. It's all panic. It's all, and everything is, let's scare people. Now they are very successful at scaring the fans. And all I say
is,
they're
less successful recently.
Well, honestly, on Twitter, you hear them repeat the talking points to you. Like, if somebody doesn't want players to be paid, all I hear are the same things that I've heard from the people who are sending out the message, which is, it's going to ruin the sport. It's about amateurism. All the stuff that we hear over and over and over again. Like, people buy it. That's the thing. Like, there's a lot of buyers of that narrative.
People will stop watching. And I'm like, I am going to bank on Americans continuing to watch football.
Okay, I'm going to bank on people doing the thing they've always done.
Yeah, I'm going to go out
over and over again.
I don't see football just stop happening. And also the idea, like, there's a birthright. So there's a birthright that, well, this school should go to a Final Four. And if we're not going to Final Four, it is bad, or something shook up. Like, well, what if we're not as competitive anymore because of NIL? Well, look, there's still a Final Four in a macro. Hey, FAU earned it. Miami earned it. San Diego State earned it. You don't have a birthright. It's just, there's just a lot of smoke and mirrors. No one ever can point to a tangible thing. I keep being told, well, next year is the year that it's going to kick in. Don't worry, down the road. I'm saying, I've been hearing this from stipends, academic awards, and now NIL for years and years and years. Haven't seen it happen. Why are we listening to them?
Do you know the people too complaining about it? You know what it makes me think? It makes me think that when my daughter is 6 years old, if she wants to start a lemonade stand in the front of our house, and she wants to make $25 out there selling her own lemonade, that would put me out as the homeowner and the parent because I'm not able to control her finances. Like, that's like kind of how it makes me feel
I'd
when you think about
to not be able to control my kids' finances.
I'm just saying,
isn't that kind of like the ratio of what a linebacker might earn at LSU in opposed to or in compared to what the SEC and the television deals are pouring into LSU? It's like, who even cares?
But
like,
everybody gets scared when it's their money. And a guy who I don't always agree with, but Mick Cronin from UCLA said it the other day. He got asked about all these changes. And he's like the one thing people in dying businesses always say is, let's do it the way we've always done it. And I mean, these people, as someone who worked in the newspaper industry for a newspaper that no longer exists, these people remind me of my bosses at the newspaper. Like, when Jack Swarbrick and John Jenkins write an op-ed in the New York Times saying, we need Congress to do this, we need the NBA to do this, and we need the NFL to do this, I'm like, oh, this would be like if my publisher had said, hey, Craigslist, could you please stop making it so easy to post ads because you're killing our business?
Stop having a more effective classified section.
Yeah. Stop doing this better. There are ways to solve this. They just don't want to actually do any of the ways to solve this. Because one, like, Jack Swarbrick is a lot more forward thinking than he's put himself out to be. A lot of these ADs talk about this stuff privately, will not say it publicly because it goes against what their presidents want or what their conference commissioner has said they're allowed to say. But there are people who are thinking about, hey, this is a multi-billion dollar business. I'd like to continue taking part in this multi-billion dollar business for the next 20 or 30 years of my working life. So let's figure something out. And I think there are ways. Like, Dan, you say just let it go. And deep down, that's what I would like to see. But I know they won't do that. So I'm trying to come up with something that they might be able to pull off. And one thing that got me going is the prolonged conversation about missing classes in non-revenue sports with Jack Swarbrick. Because one of his solutions is, well, you don't have to play 18 conference games in all these sports. You can play more regionally. You can do bus trips. And I'm like,
That's exactly what I've been saying is you have an organization that governs football, an organization that governs basketball, an organization that governs soccer, because we have organizations that govern fishing and rodeo and meat judging in college. They're not NCAA activities. So why not just do that? And your organization that runs football. If only there were an organization or a business partnership among the 10 FBS conferences in Notre Dame already. Like, already existing. Oh, wait, there is.
Yeah. If they could get out of the conference model, it'd be good for the non-revenue sports. Okay, there's no sense for Notre Dame, when they can play a field hockey game, to have their kids, have their players travel all the way to Florida or South Carolina when they can get on a bus and go over to Purdue and play and come back. Right. I mean, there's no sense to it, let alone basketball and football. Football is different. Traveling on the weekends, do it. Basketball, maybe there's enough money, but right, there's just no sense in the UCLA players that are going to have to go play a soccer game in New Jersey or East Lansing. Just they don't need that. So all of that is true. Here's the thing with what I think is with college athletics is almost everybody comes up through college athletics. They start as like an assistant ticket director, intern somewhere, and this is what they do. And the inherent thought process in college athletics is we need to make rules. There's a rule for every problem, real or imagined.
Well, most of them
how you have this huge rule book.
Yeah, most of them work at public universities, state institutions, and what do all of those things have in common? Bureaucracy.
Right.
They're most comfortable within a bureaucracy. And it bothers them if you take those things away.
There was a story in the New York Times, I think it was earlier this year, with North Carolina as they're going through it. And it was with Bubba Cunningham.
Oh, my God. The field hockey one?
The field hockey player.
Armando Bacot versus the field hockey player?
Yes. And the field hockey player had some deal with a grain. I may get this wrong, but I think it was a grain bowl restaurant in Chapel Hill. And the concept of the NCAA, the mindset is, well, we need to have a full-time employee, a bureaucracy to monitor and protect this field hockey player from making a grain bowl deal. Will she get her grain bowl every day? Will she not? And you go, who cares?
Yeah, if that's what lawyers are for.
Then she can hire an agent to make sure she does up front. Or she could sue, I guess, and say, I'm not getting my grain bowls. Or she could just learn a lesson of saying, maybe just this was a shady company to get involved with, and I'll move on. If the average student has a deal where it's like, hey, I'm gonna be a bar back at the restaurant every Friday night, and I'm going to get paid $15 an hour, and then I get a quarter of the tips, and they don't give him the quarter of tips, he doesn't run down to the bursar's office or and complain. They go, what are you doing here? Take it up with the restaurant. Like they don't, so they think there has to be a rule. We have to nanny state everything. And inherently, there is an inherent function of patriarchy, nanny state, whatever you want to call it, where they don't believe their athletes are adults. They think they are naive rubes who are going to be fooled by everyone without their protection and oversight and their
will
regulations.
People get fooled? Yes.
Who
just
cares?
Like people in real life everywhere.
How many people at college get married and then divorce because they got married too early? Right. We're going to start monitoring that.
How many people in college sign up for a credit card because their school allowed the credit card company on campus to advertise to them, and then they built up a pile of debt?
Do work for a startup. Do whatever. Yep. People make mistakes. Things don't go right. It doesn't mean you have to. But the mindset is always, we know what's best for these guys. And they until they get over that, because here's what they say with you, Ari Andy, I'm in favor of I'm a free market person. I don't believe this. The less regulations you have in business, the better. Okay, but I understand that people want some kind of solution here, and they want some kind of system, and I get that. But until you start seeing the athletes as adults, as businesses, and as partners, okay, if you're not going to employ them, then you have to at least consider them partners, and you have to find a solution going forward, whatever the solution is, where there is a athlete partnership or at least respect so that, because what they're trying to do is just claw, they keep going, I'm in favor of NIL, and then everything they propose is
you
just a
swing. You just
back.
Made the colleges Uber, by the way. You just made them Uber and the athletes the drivers. That's what you just did.
Pretty much.
That's fine.
Yeah, I know. Well, so there is a way to employ them too, by the way.
Well, yeah,
everyone thinks it's impossible. But what I just said, where you have an individual governing body, the players could be employees of that body, which is a private organization. The one idea I got from an AD was you make them employees of the conference, which you could do, but then the Big Ten would have different rules in the SEC and a different CBA than
have different rules.
I know. But if you wanted to have, but the thing is, like, they want rules. There is one way to have rules, one that will keep you out of court.
Boy.
That's have a CBA.
Yep.
It's the only way.
And this CBA, the players union, which they fear and I can't wave my back. The players union would be the weakest union in all of unions.
By far.
The only power a union has is a work stoppage. It's their only power. Their power in collective bargaining is, we're not showing up. You can't build the Chevy Silverado because we ain't there.
And they need the labor.
They need the labor. Same thing in college sports. But the idea, you can get somebody to go on strike barely anymore, mind you. Barely they have strikes that work. But you could do it if you're like, hey, I'm going to be working on this assembly line, this stamping plant's assembly line for the next 30 years. When you're talking about college athletes that might be there between one and, you know, a few years, and you're giving up, hey, give up your senior year for the good of, heck no, you'll never get work stoppage. The threat of work stoppage.
All the people too that need the games to get to the league.
Yes, they're not going to agree to this. You can maybe get somebody at a factory who, like, I need this because I can't put food on my kids' the table for my kids, or this company. You'll never get that organization amongst
the
athletes.
The thing that would allow them to get their arms around all this stuff is the thing they fear most. But it's just like the NIL and the competitive equity. They've not thought it out far enough. Like, they haven't gamed it out based on what happens in real life when these things happen to get that. That would be easier for them. It would be much easier for them to just do a CBA with the revenue sport athletes, share some money with them, make whatever rules you want, because the athletes will agree to them. So you pay them, and then no one can say boo. Like, I could complain, you could complain, but they agreed to it. So you can't take them to court. You could. The judge would be like, you agreed to it.
Maybe you don't like it. Go ahead, Ari.
But in the world, though, that you, if they were employees, you also allow them the opportunity to get endorsements, right?
Yes,
correct.
So it's both. Yeah. And that, to me, seems like the best possible scenario, but the least likely to happen.
Well, that's where you have real endorsements.
Don't make them employees. Just let them get endorsements.
Just let it go.
Uber.
Let it go.
No, you just, Uber. when you add employees, you add all sorts of issues. If you
liability,
just let them
insurance,
get
all that stuff. Comp, yeah.
Right. So U.S. gymnastics, USA gymnastics, USA basketball, U.S. figure skating, right? They don't employ their athlete. They don't, USA gymnastics don't employ Simone Biles or Sunisa Lee. They just allow them they provide them a platform to compete for their team. And then they go, however much money you can make, Simone.
It's a good point. Suni Lee has the same arrangement with USA Gymnastics in Auburn.
Yes. Let it go. Let it go. Just let them do it. We'll see. Is it really going to be a problem? I don't think so. Talk to economists. Not going to be a problem. A lot of this stuff, not an issue. It's certainly not worth the headache.
We'll be right back after these words.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What college sports wants is to say, well, I wish our business model, nothing in our industry changed for the last 40 years. Yeah, every business wants that.
Yeah.
That's not how business works.
You're not Coca-Cola. Yeah.
No, yeah, it doesn't work that way.
What are we?
Industries
we're people
that's
who
Mick
thought
Cronin's
we were right
about.
Our whole lives, so we're here on a podcast now. Like, yeah.
Yes. We didn't even get the benefit of that. Yeah.
No industry. Who does their job the same way 40 years ago? Not many people, not many industries. So you can't expect it. I get that people to say, well, the old way was great. It was great for the schools, and I get why they still want that. And I get why some of these old school coaches who sit around and going, I can't deal with this. But like, consider colleges, all right? So everything has changed with social media, TikTok and things. Like Baylor University pays, they pay two influencers to go to Baylor. Two young women at their school who have huge influence in the community there too. They're paying them straight
Imagine
up.
If USC had done this with Lori Loughlin's daughter, Uncle Beck or Aunt Becky would have never had to go to jail.
There is another, yes, absolutely. They're saying it's valuable to us. Now, if you sat there and said, wait, a school will pay you to go there because you'll draw other kids. There's a woman, a senior at the University of Miami in Florida, the day of the life at the University of Florida. This year added like literally millions of TikTok followers. And they think that there are reports, we'll see what the final details comes out, that the University of Miami, Florida's applications went up 20-30% in 1 year because of this. The Bama Rush, the process of Bama Rush.
The TikTok. Yes.
The TikToks of Bama
TikTok
Rush.
Sensation.
Off, Bama it Rush. Is a sensation. Applications up. Now, if you had gone back 15 years ago and said, okay, here's what's going to be. There's going to be these few people that do 15-second videos, and they will have more influence over your academic reputation and the quality of students coming to your school than anything else. You would go, it's impossible, right? This is the business that colleges are in now. They need these influencers where you're literally like, I will pay you. You are the coolest high school kid ever. I will pay you to come to my school because you will drag in other.
I was born 20 years too early.
And you know, and guess who the coolest kid on USC's campus is? Caleb Williams.
Maybe. And I don't know. And guess, there might be
I was going to say, what about the what about
there might be a TikToker with 10 million? I don't know.
Guess who has more influence on applications to the University of Alabama than anyone?
Nick Saban.
Nick Saban. That's exactly
Nick
right.
Nick Saban.
But what and about Bama the, Rush. The Cavender Bama twins Rush, at though, Miami?
It's up there.
Don't mess with Bama Rush. Like, this thing's a phenomenon, and you have these people watching. But that's the thing. Everything changes. It's you can go, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And you go, yeah, well, it's reality. So deal with it.
Well, and we can walk this all the way back, because this actually feeds into something I always say, which is the business of college is far bigger than the business of college sports. And these universities, not all of them, we're not talking about Harvard here. We're probably not talking about Notre Dame here. But a lot of these universities are essentially landlords and restaurateurs.
Yeah.
They have spent all this money building these buildings on their campus to house people and buildings on their campus where they're going to eat. And they need people to fill them.
And
or they can't make their nuts.
But it is kind of funny too,
yeah,
that people are giving, like, one of the podcast questions from our Monday episode was Miami buying its NIL. But like, aren't the Cavender twins for like the worth every dollar when it came to like what it what it means for Miami's women's basketball team and university.
Not Miami's women. Yeah, the university, not just the women's basketball
both.
Team.
But like people are Googling these twins.
Yeah.
And what are they seeing all over the place? Miami's logo, Miami's campus, Miami's basketball team. It's like, I don't know how much money that these two brought in off the top of my head, but I'm sure as hell no, it wasn't more than they're worth.
They're
to the people that they're employed or that they're filming
something on campus, and you see that amazing part of the University of Miami's campus in Coral Gables where there's that lake in the middle.
Oh, it's unbelievable, right?
And it backs up to the pool.
It's so cool.
And they have dorms with beach volleyball in the courtyard. And you go, wow, hey, what is this? That's what they're seeking. So it's just the world has changed. You just can't sit there and go. And so my problem a lot with college athletics is you have a lot of very traditionally minded athletic directors, and then certainly these coaches that are literally just completely out of touch with the world. And they're going, well, this doesn't make any sense. We can't do this. The best move is get out of the way. Nobody is stopping there. Nobody's stopping an influencer from doing day in the life videos on your campus. Those are very powerful in the college recruitment search because the high school kids go on TikTok or they go on YouTube and they look and say, day in the life of an engineering student at Iowa State. And they follow this kid around. And maybe it's a boy, it's a girl, whatever. It's cool enough that they connect with that neck and say, hey, this is a really cool place to go to school. That is a better deal than, that is a more effective marketing program than a billboard or a 30-second spot or whatever it is, or all the pamphlets you mail out and stuff like that. So it's just it's a totally different world. And I don't know that most of these football coaches, but when you talk about who's going to talk to Congress, get Tuberville on the phone, they're in a whole different reality. Like, we got to stop this, get out of the way, let these young people make their money, let your boosters overspend, underspend, see what happens. We've seen nothing. You will eliminate your headaches. You don't need a 25 person compliance office to check every grain bowl that's getting. If a kid like Jaden Rashada, right? Bad deal. That deal didn't work out.
Terrible deal. First no money off, behind it.
Tough break. He didn't have an experienced agent. He didn't sign a contract that he can get civil relief. At the end of the day, though, in the global sense, he's playing football at one school, not another.
Mm-hmm. And he's so got what? A bike deal. He's got a bike shop deal.
Bike shop deal now. Whatever. Jaden Rashada is fine. He's just going to a different school, not this school.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean we need an act of Congress.
But, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he got screwed.
He got lied
because
to.
The people, the people he was dealing with didn't know what they're doing. But that happens to everyone everywhere. You can make all the regulations you want. It will still happen to everyone everywhere.
It's right. There are already laws on the books that you could seek potentially, depending on what contract you signed, which you are allowed professional representation. You could then seek financial relief or hold them to that contract if that contract is properly done. So why do we need the NCAA in here to count all the stuff or find out what all the deals are? They're creating, their out is very easy. Deregulate. This is not, you know, we need to have sprinklers in an office building so everyone doesn't burn if there's a fire. What bad can happen here? Rich people gave poor people money? Like, that's the innocent people are not dying if Jaden Rashada gets his money or doesn't get his money. It's just life.
Yeah. But that's been my question. And you essentially asked it to Jack Swarbrick. This is a question I ask everybody who argues about this. What is morally wrong with giving someone money for being good at sports?
You know, the other thing too that, you know, I don't know if anybody ever talks about is how much money is sunk in every single year from people who are put in place to enforce rules. Think about how much money, compliance, you know, salaries, health insurance, all the stuff that goes on.
Go back to the Ole Miss NCAA case. Ole Miss spent millions on that case. The NCAA spent millions on that case. Do you know how much money at the end of the day was at issue there?
Isn't it like $1,500 or something?
It's like $60,000.
It was like $1,500 for a block of hotel rooms in that case.
Right. Like $60,000, basically. Why did you waste all that money? What was the point of any of that?
Nothing even happened.
Nothing happened. It's chasing its tail. Now, when they needed to defend amateurism as a way to basically be a tax dodge, because that's what college athletics is, has the financials of professional sports, but right, they don't have to pay taxes. So they need to claim they have a, that was sort of the rouge. Well, we have, look at the ruse. This is our rule book that we enforce. This is how important amateur is. Amateurism is ridiculous. Okay. Amateurs is just a ridiculous concept to begin with. But they sell it. They've sold it very well. But yeah, why do you have this apparatus to follow? All you have to do is get rid of the rules and nothing really changes. You can say, is it morally wrong? Of course not. Is it even competitively wrong? Does it change it? No. Show me that it's going to get less competitive, because we're 2 years into NIL. I'm not going to make a final decision on this,
but it's gotten more competitive. If we're going to say less or more, it's where's more Kentucky competitive now?
Yeah. Right. Oh, this school could buy a victory. Okay. Miami can spend $400,000 on Nigel Pack at Pack and get a, well, what is Kentucky spending?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they pay their coach $8 million. They do all right. What are we doing?
Meanwhile, Kansas State just signed a top 100 quarterback for the first time in who knows how long. Tennessee got a five-star quarterback for the first time since 2003. That seems like going the other way, not going.
Yeah, the funniest thing about this too is like last year, Kentucky's basketball team lost to a team that's entire budget for the program was 1/8 of the annual salary of Kentucky's coach.
Remember,
this is before NIL.
The mustache, the guy with the mustache got like a BW3 deal from the local, and it was just dinner. Yeah. It was just dinner. He just like he had a like 1,000 wings at his house, just eating.
That's a hell of a dinner, though, Dan. I'll give him that.
Yeah. He's just like, I mean, like, what was the terms there? They sent dinner. I took a pic, and you're like, college kid. That's, of course. That's
like my wife always says, I'm a terrible negotiator. Like every time my contract comes up, she's like, you're awful at this. You really should hire somebody. I am the type of person of like if Buffalo Wild Wings came in and said, we would like to sponsor your podcast. Instead of just asking for money, I'd be like, okay. Can you just dump truck 1,000 wings on my driveway?
Every be good. Send some wings. Yeah, but it's like, well, did he get a good deal? Did he get a fair deal? No, he was worth more than that. Oh, well, he got dinner. Okay, he'll figure out the next time. Jeez, I probably should ask for wings for a year. I should have gotten $500 and the wings. I don't know. That's life. Yeah. That's business. That's how you do things. And that instead it's, I just, Where's the issue? Where's the real problem? Their track record of doom and gloom of the sky is falling has been proven false every single time. They have been overly dramatic all the time. When you talk to them, they always go back to stuff like, well, we don't want a system where one guy gets paid more than the other. Well, wait a minute. Are you getting paid the same much as all your coaches? Is your assistant getting like what? All of a sudden,
Every time an AD says this, I'm like, don't you make more than all the janitors?
Yeah, it's just like all one protection from the way America works.
Right. Yeah. They throw everything out there. Well, if we don't know what all the deals are on the table, then we don't know what's a fair deal. It's like, no, if you just sit there and you hope. The rumor that the University of Texas might hire you just got you an 8-year extension. The rumor that maybe you'll go to the NFL just got you, right? Charlie Weiss got one of the greatest deals in Notre Dame history because they were worried the Giants were going to hire, the Jets were going to hire.
I had an AD ask me, he's like, how do you separate truth from fiction with these player agents that are asking for these NIL deals? I'm like, you do it because it's your job. Like, unfortunately for the three of us, the people who employ us know exactly what people we do, or, you know, people who do what we do make at various companies.
To a point, but they don't have a list.
Yeah.
They have a general assessment, and then they make a decision based on their deal.
But if I wish they knew less because we could make more that way.
Right. But if you try to buy a car, you're going to go buy a car, right? You don't walk in to the Chevy dealer and say, this is the only car I could possibly buy. And I'm desperate for it. And I have to have it. How much you charge it? Okay. You don't say that. You go, I was down the Ford dealer. They got some nice stuff over there too. I don't know. Maybe I don't need a car. Maybe I do. And this guy's got to sit there and calculate in his head. okay, do I give them the 1,000 off? Do I give them the 2,000 off? Do I give them the 5? And at the same time, you're going, huh? And they're both, and he's going, well, this is the best car. I got two other guys looking at the car. This thing could be gone in a day, right? That's how capitalism works. And in college sports, that's how capitalism works for everything except the athletes. And until they respect that the athletes will be able to do this on their own and they have to figure it out, maybe they sign, maybe their booster signs a bad deal, maybe their player signs a whatever. I don't see how it becomes competitively imbalanced. You say, well, the first thing, Alabama will buy all the players. First of all, they already get all the players, but they should get less. Alabama's the richest school. I was unaware that Alabama has more money than Stanford. I didn't
Texas.
Think so.
Yeah.
Texas. It's not. And then you say, well, okay, but what if you're offering the kid that's going to be the backup, let's say Boise State pools mm-hmm. all its resources
mm-hmm.
and overpays for the recruit and mm-hmm. says, don't go to Alabama. We know Alabama's got better facilities, better conference, better track record for the league, better everything. But we can make up for that, right? When all of us look for a job, anyone listening is looking for a job. The first thing someone you say, I'm leaving to take this job, or I'm going to take this job. First thing is, well, they offered me 20% more money. Not, you should see their offices. Fantastic.
Yeah. They got a juice bar.
Right.
There's a toilet.
More responsibility. I'm going to be the starter. I don't have to fight through this thing. I'm going to make a little more money. There's so many ways for these schools to make this work that actually spread the talent out.
Here's another one.
The boogeyman of Alabama. Yeah.
But Dan, Alabama will just pay all the top 100 players and they'll sit on Alabama's roster.
They don't have that much money.
Well, one, they don't have that much money. Two, you have to play to make it to the NFL.
Right. Exactly. Look at these guys where they go on the transfer bounce, right? When you're getting recruited at 17, one thing matters. When you're 21, something else matters. Being near mom and dad, not as important, right? Maybe the stadium, not as being cool with the coach, right? You see these guys going to play for Harbaugh, right? Harbaugh, probably not real cool when you're 17, 16. He's kind of like, what is this? All of a sudden you're 20 and going, wait, that guy's a good coach.
Yeah, he's getting people in the NFL.
Right.
Let's maybe do that.
Let's go do that, right? Something just a little bit different. Or, wait a minute, I get a grad degree at Michigan. Mm-hmm. I can get into the Ross School of Business, MBA program. Additionally, wait, if I can get in there, I want to go to that. Because all of a sudden I'm 21 and I'm going, I'm not going to make the league. What if not? Yep. And maybe, so many things change. There's so many ways this will play out. And instead, it's just, we can't have a discussion of that. It just has to be, this is all bad, all problems. We need more rules. And if we can't have the rules, we need the federal government to come in the rules. And these rules
and the NBA and the NFL.
And the NBA. And the NFL.
I mean, in fairness, guys, the federal government does plenty of time on its hands right now.
Well, my favorite's the NFL one. Like, dear NFL, please start your own minor league.
Yeah.
So that we can not have the best players in our league and make less money. Like, what?
Why would you not want, this is one of the things about NIL, even in its purest form, which would be non-inducement, just you can have a sponsorship. Simone Biles signed a letter of intent with UCLA to compete in gymnastics at UCLA. They had a coach out there, Miss Val, very famous gymnastics coach. And she said, Simone Biles calls her up and says, I'm going to sign with UCLA. And she walked in and told her husband, I just signed the greatest gymnast to ever live. And she's never shown up on campus, right? Because she knew she's going to go off, win the all around, millions and millions of dollars. And back then, the rule was, we don't want kids like that. We don't want Simone Biles.
Yeah.
Why would every other business in the world is saying, I want to be in the Simone Biles business. I want to be in the SUNY Lee business. And they were saying, we don't want that. We don't want talented Kentucky basketball. I don't want Scoot Henderson. I don't want Bryce Young. Go to a minor league. Like, why? Why would you get rid of people who are like that? And what is your
people that draw the eyeballs that cash your TV deals?
And like, instead you're like, okay, so SUNY Lee goes to Auburn. Has there been some problem? Like, seems like gymnastics is carrying on. More people are going.
Well, it looks to me like Auburn, which didn't fill its building for gymnastics before, fills it for every gymnastics meet now.
Right.
That seems to have worked out for both parties.
Why would you kick the best players out? Why would we want that? Like, what's, and they go, well,
we should be bending over backwards to make sure they're in.
All right. Hold on. You be Jack Swarbrick or you name the AD, and I'll be Roger Goodell, and you ask me to create a minor league.
Roger, we have a financial issue here where the players who are coming out of high school are just too good. And, you know, they're making everything about, you know, professionalism and money, and we just want to stick to amateurism. Is there any possible way that you could take all the players that are in that category that don't haven't reached the age yet where they can participate in the NFL and create a minor league system on your own? Leave us out of it.
Absolutely not. There, discussion had over.
What was that? No, what was that? Aaron Rodgers line to Adam Schefter, like, "Nice try, lose my number."
Exactly. Yeah. Please pour in your dollars to create something that doesn't need to exist, that will take money away from our enterprise. Will also take money away from your enterprise.
But if the NFL did that, wouldn't college football stink?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it'd still be awful. Well, I think there's like a level of brainwash here where you're literally like, I am so committed to the principles of this, whatever this is, I literally want to make my business worse. Notre Dame's AD. I'm like, round up the boosters. Let's go. Everybody meet in my office. Hey, somebody go find some kids. That's what I would do. I respect that they're like, we're so against the concept
committed
these
to the
guys
bit.
Make the money that don't do it. Not only that, we want to create federal legislation to take away our potential advantage. I respect it. I just don't understand it.
Well, here's what I think is going to happen. You talked about, you know, some of these people need to get out of the way. I think the people who are closer to retirement, who tend to be more of the true believers anyway, are going to quit. And then everybody else is going to figure it out. Because they still have to work. Like, I was at SEC spring meetings in Destin last year. And it was, you had Nick Saban saying one thing. And while I'm with Ari that I think Nick Saban's got another national title in him, he's obviously closer to retirement than his fellow coaches. But like Kirby Smart and Shane Beamer are just like, whatever. Like, we got to work 30 more years.
That was Mick. Mick Cronin said it's different. It's not a problem. It's just different. This is how the system is different. There was a time when you had to recruit junior colleges in basketball and football more because they used to – remember they had like Prop 48. You had to pass on – so junior college and prep schools were a big thing. They were loaded with talent. Then you recruited the – those are less of a thing because now you have the standardized testing isn't as big of a thing and a harder – there's so many things that happen through the years. And you just adapt and you go to it and you make it right. I look at, you know, the NCAA's Charlie Baker as its president now. Charlie Baker was the governor of Massachusetts. Charlie Baker ran and operated Massachusetts on the principle of deregulation and free market. Okay. He was the former president of a free market think tank in Boston. This is a free market guy through and through. And he's on CBS talking about regulations and not free market.
Once again, if you pay somebody enough,
they'll switch.
Will say whatever you want.
Right. That was my one hope with him was I didn't expect a lot of NCAA president. They don't have a lot of power, but there would be somebody new to the room to say, wait a minute, what if we just didn't have all these rules? Why don't we care about the Grain Bowl? Why do we care about anything? Let's see what happens. If it's totally out of control, and indeed, Alabama signs players 1 through 25, which again, it's just impossible and not going to happen.
By the way, Dan,
they signed 15 of them anyway.
Top 100 players last year.
Exactly. But they did it. They get the best recruits every single year. Like it's already balanced. But even if all of a sudden it went to the extreme of the extreme, which is to suggest that no other school participated in the free market.
So
when did that family become the boogeyman?
Only it would require one school in one school only to participate in this and everyone else to say, we don't know how to do it. Okay. and it happened for a year. And then you say, well, if that happened, well, you know what? Get your act together, everybody else. But even if that we wait and see that happen, then maybe but it's not going to happen. George is going to say, oh, wait a minute. LSU, every other school, the Notre Dame fans, the ones I'm hearing from are chomping at the bit.
Oh, they were beside themselves. with the Swarbrick-Jenkins thing last week because it was a signal to them like, oh, crap, we're not going to play ball.
All they need is a couple 5 stars a year. They need like, right? What stops Notre Dame from taking that last jump? Ari, you know recruiting better than,
depth.
Than all of us. They have great, they have a million 4 stars. They got a ton of good guys. Occasionally they have some All-Americans. They've, Hamilton, Meyer, stuff like that. But man, they're missing that one or two defensive end wrecker, one or two guys a class. And Notre Dame's got a ton of money. They got more money than Alabama. They got more money. And if they just sit there and say, we're going to get this guy, all of a sudden their football program makes that has the chance to make that last leap. It's
Caleb Williams in a Notre Dame uniform.
Caleb Williams in a Notre Dame. What was the kid who switched to Alabama? Keon Keeley? Is it Keeley or Kelly? Keeley.
Keeley.
So maybe he stays, right? I don't know. But right, how many more if Notre Dame gets 1 5-star player more a class, where do they rank on their talent, your talent things? If they just get that simple thing, they'd be
if they got one more a year, they would still probably be like in between 7 and 12. Totally. But I also think too that like Michigan is the example that we used on Monday, where if you evaluate the right way and then add one more year. Like well, what if Michigan had 3 more 5-star prospects on their team last year?
Yeah, like maybe they would have like what Georgia's done. Now it would take more than Georgia doing it. It would take like 4 or 5 doing it, but Alabama had its advantage eroded because Georgia was getting 2-3 guys a year that Alabama would have gotten instead. Right. And I mean, I went through their roster this year. I listed it in a story. Like, here are the people who would have gone to Alabama who were at Georgia. And that if Mark Richt were still the coach at Georgia, these people would play for Alabama and Georgia would have no shot. Instead, Georgia's playing for a second national title.
And if a school, if 5 schools a year are able to win, and it could be different schools each year because they're not going to win head to head against Alabama, but they win 5 battles in Alabama's recruiting class, that talent spreads out and Alabama is just a little bit weakened. It's all in the margins.
Yep.
The competitive balance is in the margins. So maybe it's Iowa makes a bigger bid for the lineman that they could have had, right? That they had committed or wherever it is where you have a shot. You got, okay, we're going to lose to Alabama if we go recruit a kid from Miami, let alone Birmingham. They're going to get the player. But what can we get this guy? Can we hold on to this guy? And at those margins, maybe it helps. I don't see how it hurts.
The
idea one school gets them all is just makes zero sense.
It's funny that to me that Alabama is the boogeyman.
Yeah.
Because Alabama, from what I understand, you know, we don't know any of this for a fact, but like the way that it is communicated and feels, Alabama isn't actually one of the programs that's most active in the pay for play inducement game.
Agree.
And like that we are like 1 or 2 years into this NIL thing now, and Alabama just signed one of the greatest classes of
all
time. Well,
Alabama didn't need to be involved in it. It's the other ones that need to be.
I think it's
because Alabama has something to sell.
Right.
We make first rounders.
Yeah, everyone wants to go because the money, you know, NIL money for a quarterback is nothing if you can just get the second contract in the NFL. Like, forget your NIL money, man. Yeah. These guys are making $400 million. I think Alabama represents the boogeyman that they all use because the perception is, and considering the state of the basketball program, Alabama will do, if they need to win, they'll do anything. That's sort of whether it's true or not, and maybe it's kind of true. That's sort of the perception. But there's always this boogeyman out there. There's always the world's about to end always. And it never ends. The sport gets more popular. And until someone comes up with some reason why I actually believe there's a problem, your solutions are only creating the problems.
Your next NCAA president, Dan Wetzel.
Let's go.
You for joining. You'll do it for like half of what Charlie Baker
Hell no.
Does, right? Okay. You want it all? I know Well, then you got to say all the same stuff he says.
We're coming at it.
No, but if they gave him the full salary, then
you know how much money I could save them in legal fees?
Yeah, see how much money he would save them if he just deregulated it?
Tremendous.
I would save them so much money. They'd be so much more popular. There'd be so less aggravation, but they want to go the hard way. And that, you know who makes the money? Billable hours. What's it? Billable hours are undefeated.
Undefeated. Yeah. You're undefeated, Dan Wetzel. Thank you so much for joining us.
Awesome to be on. Listen to this pod all the time. So pretty much every episode, even Ari's recruiting one. Stars Matter. I love Stars Matter. I love when you guys are debating like the 596th best player in the country is considering Idaho and something like that. I get so excited for him. Can they keep him home?
Dude, that's the best sales pitch that that show could get. So it's we appreciate show. You, Dan. And you've been on it. You were the first guest, I think. So
I was the first guest. I was the only listener at the time. It was very early on, I think.
We're
I
up
was
to five the, now, believe it or
I was
not.
Was the listener. guys, got to be popular now. Anyway, thank you. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much, Dan.